people to get sick, and we can't have our youth be so affected.
Talking to reporters at the White House, the president expressed concerns about flavored e-cigarettes that are marketed towards kids.
A lot of people think vaping is wonderful, it's great. It's really not wonderful.
What made a Michigan church cancel a planned event to remember 9/11? USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the answer.
Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church reportedly canceled the event because of a backlash from Michigan lawmakers. The Metropolitan Detroit Freedom Coalition had organized the event, which was to include talks titled How the Interfaith Movement is Sabotaging America and How Islam is Destroying America from Within. The pastor, Donald McKay, told a reporter last week he believes faithful Muslims are committed to overthrowing the United States government and dominating the world.
This is USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
McDonald's has announced the acquisition of a company that will assist in automating its drive-through process. Here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King with the details.
The fast food chain agreed to acquire Apprente, a California-based company that was founded in 2017 with a focus on creating voice-based platforms for complex, multilingual, multi-accent, and multi-item conversational ordering. McDonald's said the technology will be used to make the drive-through faster and more accurate. The deal comes after McDonald's tested Apprente's technology at some of the locations. Apprente will also serve as the founding member of a new internal technology-focused group within McDonald's called McD Tech Labs. The company expects to hire additional engineers, scientists, and other advanced technology experts to join the group in the future.
Turning now to sports news, NFL player Antonio Brown is now facing accusations of sexual assault from his former trainer, Brittany Taylor. The lawsuit filed in Florida on Tuesday accuses the Patriots receiver of sexually assaulting Taylor on three separate occasions in 2017 and 18. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick didn't have much to say to reporters on Wednesday.
I'm not going to be expanding on any of those. They are what they are. We've looked into the situation. We're taking it very seriously all the way through the organization. Sure, there are questions, but I'm not going to be entering into a discussion about that today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
All right. Let's test the microphone here. Grant?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Nope. Got nothing on you.
Cody? Test, 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 test.
All right. Grant?
1, 2, 3. Test, test.
Uh-oh.
Is he on mute?
All right. Now do it again.
Test, test, test. Test, test.
Uh-oh. Hmm. Well, this is going to be fun.
Is that other one over there? Would that be easier?
Well.
Going. Test, 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 test.
I'm all up now.
Test, test,
check his,
test.
Check his actual master volume, test, not the test, slider.
Test, 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 test. Test, test, test.
Oh, well.
Test.
Let's see. I think we're going to have to...
We only have one guest today.
Do you want me to use that mic over there?
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to.
Okay.
All right. Everybody having fun watching this happen in real time. That's weird because I've used that microphone before, but then...
Test, test, test. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so... All right, well, while these guys get situated, I guess I'll start the show. That way we'll have some, well, not that we have a show after us, so we can run late today.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
All right, let's see.
You got to, like, tighten it so it's actually stuck in.
All right, I'll keep your microphone down while you fiddle with that. Okay, so welcome, everybody, to the Hack Hunted In radio show, number 13. I'm your host, Jim Minadio, and I'm the president of Zero Surge, a manufacturer of power quality filters that are used for surge protecting sensitive electronics. With Zero Surge, you have peace of mind that your electronics are kept safe. So today is our first ever roundtable discussion show, which has already got off to a great start. We have one guest that is only going to be here in two dimensions, and then the other two are here in three dimensions. So we have Cody Hofstetter, who's been here before, which you're on.
Yep. Now I am.
Yeah. No, you were before.
That's what I was. Sure.
Oh,
you had the slider down on.
Oh, sorry.
That's why
I'm dyslexic on which one is two and three.
Yeah, you're good.
All right. And then, new to the show is, Grant Piddle. What is your official title at MagnaPower? I didn't even know.
CTO.
So he's the CTO, Chief Technical Officer. See, can we hear him? Can you hear him?
Yeah. Can you hear me fine?
Right. Yeah, you just want the mic a little closer, do you?
Yeah, you just got to almost be right on top of the microphone.
All right.
Perfect.
So, yeah, because that's one of the problems with the this. If people, Facebook tends to keep the volume low. I don't know if it's a setting with how this is set up, but so it's important to talk as loud as we can through this. All right, so he's a CTO with MagnaPower, as we introduce him again.
Sure.
Oh, see, we can't even see you on the camera. Maybe that's the problem. Here, let's turn the camera.
Just the tripod over there.
You want to just come sit next to me?
Yeah. Really? But I will.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There we go.
All right. It just, there's a delay for
now
us to do this.
Now I can see my pretty mug.
Okay. So there's Grant. Okay. Again, this is a fun show, so it'll be, who knows, this will probably be your most watched show because of all the
antics.
The antics, yes, and the incontinuities here, or discontinuities. Okay, so we'll talk more about, we've introduced Cody before in the past, we'll introduce Grant in a little bit here. I just want to say with the topics today, we're going to range from news items relating to tech and innovation, as well as some fun questions peppered in between. I thought about scoring the answers using the modified stable scoring system, but you know, that's a golf scoring system, but I figured you guys don't play golf. And then I thought maybe the ELO system, but I'm not really a big gamer either, so I wouldn't know how to do it that way either. So,
get your questions.
And I shouldn't get a sanctioning body to come over and officiate. So, so we won't be scoring it this time. Plus, we don't have Brandon today. So, so instead, we'll leave you with the honor of having a good discussion in front of a few hundred of your closest virtual friends. And as always on the show, with some historical perspective. Today's history lesson will be on the history of televised roundtable discussion groups. I actually found the first one. So it's a sort of interesting story how it even got started. So, and then because we do date these shows, even though you're watching it live today, but you may be watching it tomorrow or the next day, you know, we have to acknowledge that today is September 11th when we're taping it. so I'd be remiss if I didn't pay respects to everyone that was affected by this event. As a local commuter community in, you know, Hunterdon County's many residents that make that daily trek to New York City, and we've had firsthand loss or may know somebody who lost their life or is still feeling the health effects from that day. So we remember having remember them today, and I know my memory is having to go to a convention in Atlantic City. It was actually a local government convention that, you know, because the president said we're going to keep going on and having normal activities, we went down there and just seeing the fighter jets flying up and down the coast doing patrols on the 12th and the 13th, 14th. We're down there. It was pretty unnerving. Not used to hearing low-flying airplanes go in front of buildings because they really considered Atlantic City to be a target, being that it was big buildings on the ocean. So FBI was down there and everything. So so the memories do fade, but the feeling is still there, and we'll never forget. So on that note, we'll move on. Let's see. So let's start by introducing Grant to the group. Grant is PhD, right? Electrical engineering?
Correct.
He's the CTO of MagnaPower. MagnaPower manufactures power supplies from 1.5 kilowatts all the way up.
Up to 3 megawatts.
3 megawatts. So how do we put that in perspective for the audience? How much is 3 megawatts?
Well, it's certainly more you can get out of your outlet. So you need special wire hookup to get it. 3 megawatts is about, let's see, I guess like a wind turbine is around 3 to 10 megawatts. That's a typical size. And, you know,
so
when you're,
like
you're talking like solar fields, like they also talk in terms of megawatts, like 2 to 5 megawatts is some of the large, you know, you drive around Flemington, you see some of those large solar fields is around 2 or 3 megawatts.
Okay, so you have a power supply that fits in with the size of about a refrigerator or two. That would create the same amount of power that a whole wind turbine would be.
Yeah, our base unit is around 250 kilowatts. That's like kind of the build. You know, we'll stack these in parallel to get up to that power level that we need. But 250 kilowatts is our largest base building block for these power supplies, for at least the larger series. Definitely, like those large ones are low volume, but we do. We're only ones in the world that make them, so that's kind of our.
And what do people use them for then?
For the big ones.
Yeah,
they use them. We've sold a lot to national labs. Boeing has been buying a lot of them. They use it for emulating the bus on a airplane. So it's around 250 volts DC.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also used for, I know, a lot of the central inverter. So for solar, so if you have a big solar field, most of them use a central inverter so that they have one power converter that's converting all that DC power and putting it back on the grid. So for those large inverters, they'll buy our product for testing their inverters because it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend all this money on a solar panel and possibly damage it by testing your production inverter on it. So they'll buy our power supply. We have called a photovoltaic emulator, so it'll emulate the solar cells. You can, you know, run these tests inside your factory, and it's usually used for production testing.
Okay, so it's not just simple, you know, power supply. You can actually program to simulate the power that's being generated by, say, a solar field.
Yeah, these are programmable power supplies. You can vary the voltage and current, and it also has all these protections on it for overcurrent trips, over voltage. That way, if you do get a short, it's not going to catch fire in your factory. So we have a lot of safety mechanisms. Yeah, at a megawatt, you will.
Yeah, that caused a big fire.
Yes.
So that's good. So for people to know, they manufacture all these products in New Jersey, in Flemington. They're pretty vertically integrated. They go from sheet metal to making the cabinets to even making your own boxes for shipping, you know, from end to end. And so they're a growing company, and I guess you're expanding too, hopefully, in the near future.
Eventually we're running out of room, but eventually.
So hopefully, you know, we can keep you guys here in Hunterdon County. I guess your roots are pretty deep here now because of, you know, your father's been here for – he's the one that started the company. So how many years ago?
I think we moved here around 2003. I'd have to check my numbers on that. But
okay.
It was definitely I was in school at the time when they opened up the factory here. But it was originally based in Whippany for about, I think, 10 years. And then it moved to Boonton, New Jersey. We had two facilities up there. And then we bought our own place down here in Flemington.
Okay, nice. Okay, so then the next iteration, you'll be going further south. You'll be in Trenton in another 10 years. the way you're going. Okay, good. And then Cody, you know, for those who don't know, you can look at one of his our previous show from a few times. You want he's got a resume that goes, you know, as long as this page here with all the stuff that you're doing. Is there anything new you want to add to it since the last we spoke? Do you have any new jobs, roles? You're not doing any new acting gigs yet?
No, we actually, Mark and I just had a meeting with somebody who is planning on doing some additional film work up here and is interested in shooting some locations in Hunterdon County. So I made that introduction for them probably about 2 hours ago or so.
Oh, wow. Cool. So is it what kind of movie is it going to be? Like a horror movie?
TBD.
Okay. No.
No spoilers here.
Okay. So let's see. We're at a commercial break. So why don't we do a commercial break real quick, and then we'll get started in more of the discussion topics. So hold on.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior
we just get
emergency
up.
All
right.
Care
get up and walk out.
At a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, so the roundtable discussion, I guess we'll get started. The first article was, I don't know if either of you found the Forbes did an article about the top 100 innovators.
Okay.
So in it, they're supposed to be the leaders of innovation. And so we can do this two ways. One, who do you think, you know, could you name somebody in their top 10? They supposedly did this. Basically, this is based on 12-month sales growth, company's innovation premium, also this leader's, like, social media clout. So do they have an influence on society? So if they tweet something or put something on Facebook or, you know, LinkedIn, you know, do people, like, engage in that conversation? So who do you think would be, like, a top 10?
Amazon, Uber, Microsoft.
So Jeff Bezos.
Are these individuals?
These are individuals. These are leaders, okay. Leaders
Elon,
of companies.
Elon Musk, number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's definitely in top 10.
He's tied for number one.
Second. So, are these alive people or they can be dead people?
No, they're alive. They're the current leaders.
Okay. Who do you be tied with?
Well, Cody had the Jeff.
Jeff Bezos, yeah.
Jeff Bezos is the tied with him. So who do you think, let's see. So could you name any of the other top 10? I'm sure Brandon could if he was here.
Probably. Let's see.
Well, we don't want to have too much dead air here. So
yeah.
I'll read the top 10. Zuckerberg, Mark Benioff, which is from Salesforce.com, the leader of them.
Carl Sagan. He does the Segway, right? What was that? That's his name, I think.
No, he's not in here. at least in the top 10, and that's not, it's not Carl.
No, I was like Carl Sagan.
He's not Carl Sagan.
I'm like, also, he's dead.
No, he's the astrophysicist. It's,
Neil deGrasse Tyson, is that the other one you're thinking of?
No, it's the guy who does the Segway. He's Dean Kamen.
Dean Kamen.
Yeah, is he on the list?
I'd have to go down. I didn't notice if he was on here or not. Because does he have a company, though?
Yes. Yeah, he has
that would be growing. Products. See, they probably discount it because he's not part of a big company that's grow. You know, like
he's
probably
an inventor. Right?
He's like a serial entrepreneur too, right? So he just sells the company, moves on, does another one. So he's not on here. So it's kind of innovative leaders.
Jack
not,
Dorsey would be one from Twitter.
I think he is in there
probably.
But the top 10 is Zuckerberg, Benioff, Reed Hastings from Netflix. Nadella from Microsoft,
yeah.
The leader of Adobe. I don't want to screw up with his name.
Go for it.
Shantanu Narayen. Narayen. Shantanu Narayen. Tim Cook from Apple. Arne Sorensen from Marriott. And then together, I guess, Larry Page and Sergey Brin from Alphabet / Google. So those are in the top 10. Now, the interesting thing about this and why they got a ton of flack is, if you go down this list, there's only one woman in the entire list. So if you're going to have the top 100 in any kind of business, you know, metric, and they claim they did this with data. It wasn't just a bunch of people in the room just putting their top 100 on a board.
Okay, my other question would be, how many of those people aren't the actual CEOs of the companies as well? Because the top 10 you listed are all CEOs, if I...
It is leaders. These are all leaders of the company. But the thing is, okay, so you do this list. You would think that, and the criticism is that, hey, you should have noticed that 99 out of 100 were men, and maybe made some comment about that in the article, because they have an article that accompanies the list. Obvious.
What was the criteria for selection? I mean, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be men or women. I'm just saying, what's the criteria? We can evaluate the criteria saying it needs to have men or women.
Somebody from Forbes had to then write almost like a mea culpa and explain that they were using, you know, quantitative things. They were looking at, like I said, their social capital rating. They have some kind of list that they've used before for like the top billionaires. They looked at their publicly traded track record of the company that they're running. They're looking at growth rates of the company. But the problem is, it kind of pointed out the problem is that women don't run tech companies. You know, it's just what it is. I mean, if you look at all the top tech companies, none of them are run by women, you know, either in healthcare or in IT. So... they could have said something about that, but they just didn't. They didn't even notice it. It was like, to them, it didn't even... And so that was where the backlash, and that's how I found out about this article. Because I didn't even know that list existed until I heard about the backlash about it. So that was that article. Another one was Netflix losing its title as the number one bandwidth eating application. So did you realize that? That actually is happening now. So
YouTube now?
Well, they're actually YouTube not as what either, and this is not actual like number of pieces of data. So this is relative to other types of downloads. So there's a company called Sandvine that does this report.
So it's still not total.
So it's not total. Well, the thing is because
statistics gotta love them.
Well, the problem with so Netflix is very efficient.
Uh-huh.
So the amount of they don't take as much bandwidth, even though they provide more information. So it's how do you compare Netflix download for a movie than me watching TV through an HDTV? Mm-hmm. You know, through my local cable company may stream it through the internet instead of go through cable. So now that's part of the internet traffic bandwidth structure. So what they came up with was the choices are the categories are HTTP, media streams, operator IPTV, Netflix, YouTube, HTTP download, HTTP transport layer security, PlayStation download, Xbox download, and Facebook. All made, you know, those as individual make the percentages. So the HTTP media streaming is 17% of traffic in this country. And Netflix is down to 12.9%.
So it says HTTP.
See, that's exactly what I was thinking.
You've got a website. It's like images, videos you're probably hosting on your website, text. So it's just normal.
Well, no, these are like streaming services. So we're talking like Hulu, other streaming services besides
Netflix. Yeah, but
Netflix.
They should, again, like that's a perfect example because they're HTTP. They should be HTTPS already at this point. Like. Especially since Google started implementing the features where all the website rankings and everything like that, and they have listed separately TLS security.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I don't understand why, if that were true, then why is Netflix in its own category?
Exactly my point.
So I think HTTP, the way I'm reading it, is HTTP means that is the, that's when you go on HTTP, any website, that's any traffic that comes off of that, and probably the majority of it's media-based, like images, videos, like just AVIs.
And that's stuff that's not even necessarily upgraded, because even if you're serving videos, there's not that much of a bandwidth deficiency by changing them to HTTPS anyway. Mm-hmm. So those are the only ones that actually haven't switched over yet to using a more secure transport for it.
At least that's how I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. What's the criteria?
Yeah, I'm all about criteria, right?
Well, that's what they only listed those.
I
as
hate
those.
Lists unless I know the criteria.
Okay, well then I won't do these other articles.
Yeah, that's it. Do the criteria first and then do the list.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So that's...
We're just going to make our own lists now. That's the rest of this this show is just going to be us making our own lists.
Let's see. Here's another one. Okay, so this is not a list-related article. Okay.
Not interested.
Okay, this is... Well, this actually, this, you would be interested in this in a way. I think this... ties in with some of your advocacy kind of stuff and privacy in a way. So there's a company called HiQ, HIQ Labs, and what they do is they scrape LinkedIn public profiles.
Okay.
And then they gather them up, and then they take the data, crunch it, and then sell it back to companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see, you know, for large companies like a Ford or a GM, they can see all the GM publicly listed profiles and then come up with, you know, hey, you know, your average employee, you know, had 7 other jobs besides working at Ford or whatever. I don't know, you know, why Ford can't just figure this out on their own, but for some reason, this is a value that they're able to sell to other companies.
So let me guess, LinkedIn doesn't like that because it violates their terms of service, because that's the type of data they'd like to be selling.
Well, what happened was originally LinkedIn said, fine, go ahead, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, and then somebody at Microsoft said, hey, you know what we can do is we could sell this too. This actually is valuable. After attending many HiQ conferences, so they started realizing, you know, hey,
they
look at all these
idea
people.
And like, oh, that's
look
a good
at all
idea.
People showing up. So what they did was they sued him under the Computer Fraud and Abuse
Act. Mm-hmm.
Right. So they said you're hacking our data. And
to be clear, LinkedIn sued them.
Yes, LinkedIn sued him. So LinkedIn sued them over this, and. One of the other things is they wanted a cease and desist, too, at the, you know, you can't do this. So I guess one thing I learned about these kind of lawsuits is that while you're being sued, if this is going to injure another, like your customers, so HiQ's customers are going to be injured by this, during the lawsuit, they're still allowed to scrape the data and do this because it's injuring another party that is innocent, so to speak. So LinkedIn lost that first fight, and then they the lower court agreed with HiQ that because it's public data and because it's not LinkedIn's data they're taking data that was inherently public information that it's really the user's data.
Mm-hmm.
They own the data, and that the user, by not putting it as private, makes it
is allowed to
be public, so they're allowed to do it, and so they can't stop them from scraping it. But LinkedIn argues, well, we can still block their IP addresses for their scraping.
That works super well, let me tell you.
And so that just causes, you know, them to fight over it. So it turned out then they sued again, and LinkedIn can't even interfere with the scraping because it is public information. And so there's a lot of companies, I guess, that try to sue under this
Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Yeah, it's a super widespread act. So if you essentially want – it's it's all-encompassing pretty much, so if you're going to sue for some sort of computer crime, more than likely it's going to fall under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act because it's so widespread, and it's essentially you're accessing our computers unauthorized. Well, what exactly does that consist of? Like, if you go to an employer directly and you're getting assigned a job, for instance, and you find something that wasn't necessarily, like, in your scope of work, and you went to look at it, are you now violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act because you don't have exact direct permission, even though you've been contracted to look at something else for them? If the data is publicly available and you're obviously utilizing something stored on someone else's computer, is that a violation of it? It's just all-encompassing.
Yeah, so, I mean, like we were at Grant had a power conference last Friday night, and I noticed when people were giving their talks, some of the talks said on the bottom, you know, company confidential on their presentations. It's like, well, I mean, how much information can you make private if you're publishing it too? I mean, this is like the broader picture of this. You know, if you put a presentation on your website and say, I take your presentation and show it to somebody else, is that something you're going to sue me over?
Well, especially for those, that was like a public forum, and the idea is like sometimes companies do not want their slides shared. They sent me all the slides, so they put that on there. I'm going to probably have to go and ask them, hey, can I post these slides online? But if they don't have that message on there, usually it's okay to repost somebody else's slides online. But usually when you see that, you get a little bit nervous about doing that.
So what I do for my presentations is every time I give a presentation, it typically will have my company logo on it. And in the bottom right-hand corner, it has the CC by SA, which is Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike. So if you want to reuse it, you're more than welcome to. It just means say where you got it from, and you have to release it under a similar license. So if you do want to use information or you want to use the direct slide, then other derivatives from that more or less have to also be shared the same way. And if I don't want a particular slide shared, I will take that off. Mm-hmm. So that way it could be a full slide deck, and every single slide that's completely fine being shared will have that little CC by SA on it, and the ones that don't will not.
Yeah, and it says the one test that the courts will use is, was there a password required to get to that information?
Well, first of all, in that situation, a lot of companies they have public APIs and private APIs. And a lot of companies will make their money selling the private APIs, in which case I can understand, like, and what you get from that, then they can start putting restrictions of, like, you know, we're giving you access to our database. These are the requirements. If you just have a public API and everyone has access to it, you didn't sign any document committing to any type of commitment on how you're going to use that data. So I don't...
Terms of service.
Exactly.
By accessing that, you've agreed to our terms of service because of XYZ. By using our data and coming here, you've agreed to our terms of service, even though you didn't get read them, there's not necessarily any notice for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's see. So we already had another break. Like I said, time goes pretty quick with this. We'll do the news break, and then we'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
On this 9/11, Vice President Mike Pence is praising the heroes of Flight 93 on the 18th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Men and women who rose up, who fought back, and who met unspeakable evil with selfless heroism and American strength.
Speaking at the Flight 93 Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, Pence cited the courage and sacrifice of passengers who fought with hijackers on that ill-fated flight. Texas billionaire T. Boone Pickens is dead. A family spokesman says the 91-year-old passed away from natural causes this morning in Dallas. Pickens had been in ill health over the last several years after a series of strokes and a fall. He was known for his involvement in the energy sector and trying to get the United States off foreign oil. Pickens was also known for his involvement in Oklahoma State University athletics. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. will even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
All right, we're back. Let's see. I'm supposed to do the weather, but you know they covered the. You know, this is one of the first sunny days I've been here. I think last week it was sunny, so I've had two now sunny days out of the 13. It's hot today. So.
Yeah, it's supposed to be up to like might be 90 or something like that.
Yeah, let's see. They usually have a little weather link here ready for me, but
the weather's boring. Move on.
Well, what do you think? The top 10?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's a list of the weather days ahead of us. So we have Thursday, 81, chance of thunderstorms. Friday, 72, nice day. Saturday, more storms, maybe 79. And Sunday, 83. So there you go. Which one would you agree with?
I don't agree with any of them.
No, Friday?
You didn't list a degree tolerance.
Yeah.
My methodology either was the, what do they call that? The
what's the criteria for selection?
I used one of those Sharpie forecasting pens.
Oh, perfect.
So
I would like to know the measurement instruments you used to come up with that.
Dude, dartboard,
Sharpie.
Blindfolded.
Sharpie.
Yeah.
It's the new way of predicting the weather, don't you know? All right, so... What else? Oh, say. So I was going to see. I'll make sure which ones I've done here. So we talked about this. Here. So let's go back to this, my list of questions here. So the first one was, since we were talking about 9/11, what's one aspect of that day that you still think about today? I mean, I know you're still old enough to have been there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not post-millennial like my kids.
Mm-mm.
So what's your first, like if you think of that day, what's the one thought you have of that day?
Well, I think it also goes back to, like, everybody says where you remember where you were day. That's the first one that I immediately think of.
So where were you?
I was actually in public school, and I was 11 years old, and I remember sitting in our music room and being like, why are we all supposed to be quiet, and our music teacher's got the TV on? And literally, it's going on in every single room, but we're 11 years old, so we're like, we don't understand. Like, why are we all just sitting here super quiet? And like,
How about you, Grant?
Yeah, I guess me too.
Same school.
I was in college at the time, and it was I went to state in Cornell University. It was New York State, so lots of New York City residents were going to school there. And I was in my digital signal processing class, and it was early. Mm-hmm. And basically, there was like somebody came up to the professor with a phone or something, and he basically made announcements that the World Trade Center went down. I know a lot of you in the audience have family members. His class is dismissed, and it was on the televisions all around the university.
Campus.
It was very, very scary.
Hmm.
Lots of stories of near misses, like people not going to work that day. And, so it really, at least on the campus, it really hit hard.
Did you have a fear because of your family being here? Like your dad and your mom and stuff are still living close enough to it?
They said, we were in North Jersey at the time. And so they saw the smoke from all the way from north. They lived in, I guess, Morristown area, Madison, New Jersey, and basically the smoke from the collapse drifted over. They could see it from the from their house.
Yeah, my father-in-law and brother-in-law were living in Woodbridge, which is right. I mean, from the Home Depot, you could see the towers from where they lived, which is right down the road from them. So that was that was the day that my brother-in-law. Set up a new server, so he always named his servers by the day, and he has a 9/11 server that actually was he just spooled it up just before it happened.
The second one I remember is when you, me, and Mark were sitting down, and you asked me to be on the show today, and I was like, too soon.
Yeah, I guess the second thing I remember is, did you visit the Ground Zero?
Yeah, later.
So it's like kind of really hits home, like being there, seeing the gigantic hole in the ground. It's crazy.
Okay, so let's see. Let's try to make this a little more happier. Then. So what was the first original program or app that you ever made? Can you think of whoever has it in their head first can go?
The first thing that I can really think of was probably playing, not even an actual app, but playing around with like Dreamweaver.
So just making like a website?
Just making a standard little website.
What about you?
I remember I did something. It was something in visualstudio.net. It did something with pictures. Like it went through and I think it like grabbed a bunch of pictures, rescaled them, and made thumbnails for them using Visual. That was my first program, I think. I think I was like in undergrad or high school when I did that. Oh, no, wait. I did programming in high school, so I had more programs than that. Okay, now I got it. I remember in AP Computer Science, I made this game that is basically every time you took a step, so it was like basically all character based, and every time you took a step, it's called War, and basically every time you took a step, an X would hit on the grid, and you had to get from one board to the other. It was completely random where these X's hit, and you had to get from one end to the other without getting blown up.
Nice. So my first game, I tried creating a game. Basically, I tried to recreate Space Invaders using, it was a Radio Shack color computer programming in BASIC. It wasn't Visual BASIC, it was just BASIC. And I got it to the point where I was using just circles as the bad guys. And I could get the circles, I could get like five circles to move, but it was so slow. It was like circle, circle, circle. And they would move. And then you had the guy at the bottom that can move left and right. And then I had, when you'd shoot the gun, the screen basically had to freeze everything in place as the bullet went up. And then it would either hit or not hit.
So what you're saying is that essentially everything just got burned into your CRT monitor. So it just looked like it was a full screen.
Well, I never played it that often. I think that computer came with these like a ROM cartridge port. Mm-hmm. And you could buy games for it, almost like a Atari or something. And so I bought the one game I got for it was Polaris, which was Missile Command, basically, for Radio Shack. And that thing did burn in some, because it was, you actually used a regular TV set as your monitor. So that definitely burned in some nice green edges around the TV. I remember, so that was my first one. So let's see, we did that one, or we did the Forbes thing. Yeah, so back to that article about the traffic. So then what do you think your largest usage bandwidth is? Well, like what kind of internet traffic is something that you take the most or you do that you have the most of?
IPTV is probably like in comparison to the largest amount of actual bandwidth pulling down, solely because like I don't use any traditional cable, so I only have an internet connection I pay for. So that's probably the largest one, but my next second thought was probably backups.
And yours?
I choose not to share that information. So.
Oh. Okay, so it's a certain kind of video.
And I think nobody knows what I'm talking about. So.
I didn't see anything. I didn't know anything.
Video that is of an adult nature, maybe?
No.
No, not even that.
It's
you use compressed.
Other backups.
Yeah, I'm publicly backing up my files.
Okay. Let's see. So, and then we joked about your top 10 browsers.
Firefox.
I use Chrome.
Chrome? Okay, why?
Probably was when the Chrome browser came out, it was really fast. And then even though Firefox eventually caught up, I just never bothered switching back.
I've also used Chromium a lot. So the specific reason I don't use Chrome, not because it's a bad browser, but solely because I don't want Google as ingrained into my life as possible, which is why I use the Firefox browser. There's absolutely nothing wrong with using Chrome if that's not an issue that you have.
Okay. I myself use Firefox, partly because when Chrome, I was excited with what Chrome could do because before then the issue was printing off of browsers. That was always a big thing. Obviously for stuff even like this show, it's kind of, but I still like Firefox's. They have this simplify function when you want to print off a web browser screen, and it gets rid of all the ads and gets rid of all the crap on there. So
I don't have ads to begin with.
Chrome uses Chromium. Edge, Microsoft browser is going to switch to Chromium pretty soon.
Does
Firefox use Chromium too? Mm-hmm. No, they still maintain their own.
I think it's Quantum now.
Quantum. All right. And what does
Apple they were using use? Gecko before that?
What does Apple use for their? They write their own too.
Probably.
Safari, right?
That's Safari.
Yeah, there's Safari browser for it.
So you don't use Safari, even though you're an Apple. You have a Mac, right?
I don't use Apple at all.
Oh, you don't?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you had a Mac when you came to the meetup to show us your automation. Or was
yeah,
that somebody?
Yeah, but it had Windows on it.
Oh,
it was a hack.
And it wasn't mine, it was my brother's.
Okay.
So, I'm going after my own heart.
So you're even hiding like what computer you even used for people. That's
Apple kinda makes good hardware, but they
lies.
Others, what?
I said lies.
They make, well, they're...
One time they make.
Yeah, they make good hardware. And they're very innovative one time, and then people get caught up, and then they're
like, we'll just keep selling it for years. Yeah. We don't need to change anything.
So I bought, I used to have an iPhone when they had the 3GS came out. Mm-hmm. That thing was great. Nothing even came close for like years. But then I eventually switched.
I actually literally had this conversation with somebody yesterday about using different platforms, which was one of the guys really likes PC stuff. The other guy likes Mac stuff. And I'm like, I use Linux all day. And so I was like, at the end of the day, like, I will 100% say to people, like, oh, Windows is shit, Mac is shit, blah, 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 Linux Master Race, all that fun sort of stuff. But I'm like, honestly, this is really what it boils down to. At the end of the day, you need to be able to accomplish whatever you need to do for your business. So if that means you're using Mac or if that means you're using Windows, that's really what you need to be using. And the issue is a lot of people who use Linux, like, yes, you will be able to do every single thing you could possibly want to do using Linux, but you also have to be a lot more technically inclined for the most part if you really want to do a deep dive on it and you're not using one of the distributions that's widely available.
And if you're working with people who have
who
no
don't use
computer
it, yep.
skills, it's a pain to...
Exactly.
Yeah, I worked with somebody once that he was big on even making programs to do everything he wanted to do. So then when it came to training somebody else to do his job, you couldn't because he was using his custom program.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, I was able to populate the list this way, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, but nobody can do that. Nobody can just write a program. This isn't, you know, the people who are taking over your job don't have that skill set. You know, you have to use the tools that everybody else can use. You know?
Well, a really good example of that is actually people paying for, like, Office 365 or whatever it is. I say, if you really, really want to program and the most interaction that you end up doing with other people who don't use Linux, for example, or even if you use Windows and you don't want to pay for Office 365, go download LibreOffice, and anytime somebody sends you a document, either just save it as a .docx, which is Microsoft Word, and or just save it as a PDF and send it to them that way. And that will save you the however much it ends up being for Office 365 every year.
Hmm. Okay. And
but that's, again, an additional step that you need to take to do so,
right,
or at
right.
least know about it.
Right. Let's see. So before we're actually running close on time here, but let me see my other sweet browser. Standing or sitting desk? Sitting at your desk. I know you got it. You got the standing desk, right?
Yes, it's either one. You can go sitting or standing.
Yeah, but which? What do you do more of?
I do mostly standing. I probably should be doing more sitting because you don't. Actually, I learned. Like, I remember, the first day I got it, I stood all day. And then it's like, man, I'm so tired. And then I actually read, it's like, it's bad to stand all day. I'm like, oh, it's bad to sit all day. So which one is it? So you should be alternating between the two positions throughout the day. But it really helped my back issues. I was having some, sitting all day. Not working the right muscles. And, you know, I had a son lifting him up. And, oh, this is killing my back. But after I had that, it was helping strengthen my back. So
I find I mostly end up taking... Because I end up doing a lot of remote work, it's easy for me, and I'll take my laptop and I'll just walk it around to various places, like take 5-10 minutes here and there and actually just go do something else. So I'm still walking around, but mostly when I'm working, I'll end up sitting down somewhere.
Yeah, I've also found it's like a really good collaboration
tool
as well. Like,
very useful.
Like what happens if I want to talk to somebody, I'll just put the lift. For some reason, it's a lot easier to get close to somebody standing than getting close to somebody with the armrests and everything and you're sitting down. So if I'm working with somebody, we'll lift the lift stand up and then I'll put the schematic on and we'll both work on it.
Sitting down. Hard to get close.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm more of a sitting, like traditional. I think it comes from growing up as a piano player. Like, I never played the piano standing up, and so
it's you never lived.
I know. Well, the thing is, I did actually. I had to do it once recently at an open mic night. They had a piano there, but for some reason they didn't have an extra chair, and I went to get a stool, and they're like, "You got to go now." And so I started playing, and then sure enough, it was kind of weird playing that way. But it's more about just getting your hands in that position standing it up. But, you know, I noticed that when I do the collaboration, I'm usually the one that stands behind somebody else's desk. Usually I don't invite people to stand, probably for the same reason that you were saying, like, to have somebody, like, hover over your chair is kind of annoying. But for me hovering over their chair, I can – maybe part of it is I can just see what they're doing better. And we did – I did notice one thing that's kind of interesting when you're doing this. This is kind of interesting human behavior thing is that do you ever when you're – say the other person is at the computer and they're controlling the mouse and keyboard and you're trying to show them something or work with them through a program of some kind – and you say, okay, over there, click over there, no, over there, and like, and you'll see it before they will, or like they're scrolling through a list, and you're like, oh, it's right there. And we, and my office manager Debbie said, how come you always see it before I do? And I, and we figured out what it was is that she's looking at the mouse pointer, not at the stuff that's scrolling. I don't care where the mouse pointer is because I'm not in control of it, so I never look at the mouse pointer. I'm looking at the screen, and so I always catch it just before she does. Because I'm looking at, you know, what we're trying to look for.
You have a lot more patience than me because usually I just push the person aside and let me drive. That's what I say usually, and I usually take control and need to do what I need to do on the computer so I can move on to the next task. But going back to the sit or standing desks, I guess, you know what the saying is, you know, sitting is the new smoking. You ever hear that before?
Yes, I've heard that. Yeah, or the, and standing is the new vaping then?
You know what we need? We need lying down desks.
Lying down.
Well, I was wondering, I was waiting for Cody to say, what do you mean, leaning back on my sofa, you know?
We need hammock desks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, doesn't Google have all these like pods, sleeping pods and all these kind of, or those chairs? It was a fad in the 80s was to have these computer chairs where you bending over on your knees. Do you ever see those chairs?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a church pew.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah
thing.
They have those. They have the balls that you sit on. If you want
yeah.
to get a,
oh,
massage,
yeah,
you get a
yeah,
massage, that. You can go in. You can get a rescheduled massage at the on site.
Yeah. Let's see. And then last, since we are running out of time, this is Palindrome Calendar Week, if you don't know. Meaning
I did
the
not.
Dates, the dates are forward and backwards the same. This is the last week of the entire century that we'll have palindrome days.
Hmm.
So, you know. So the last question is, how are you going to celebrate?
We just did. That's how I plan to celebrate.
You're going to celebrate the way you began, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a palindrome would be. You know,
with another show.
You're going to do it forward. You're going to celebrate forward, and then
I'm
going to
play this
backwards.
Show completely backwards,
backwards.
And see what subliminal messages we put in it.
Okay. How about you, Grant?
How am I going to sell? Yeah,
I don't
observe it.
You don't observe. You're not palindrome orthodox.
Yeah.
You know what?
Orthodox
he says palindrome. That now, but like
I'm a non-believer.
You don't believe in palindromes?
It. No.
He believes in using the full 4 year
yeah,
of the year,
that's
so
it
doesn't count in his orthodoxy.
Yeah, it's too long. I just do two numbers.
That's it. That's all you need.
Okay, great.
Yay, celebrations.
All right, so we're going to do one more break, and then we'll be almost done with the show.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And with that yawn, we are coming down to the close of the Hack Hunterdon Radio Show. Again, I'm Jim Anadio. We have Cody Piddle and Grant.
Sorry,
Cody. I just did that. Cody Hofstetter, Grant Piddle. Gosh.
It'd been really funny.
At least I called you Grant Hofstetter, though. Well, it'd be funny if I said Brandon, but Brandon's
here. He's here with us in spirit.
In spirit. Jeez. All right, so I guess it's been a long day for me, too. So I was going to talk about the history real quick of the first roundtable discussion. So it actually happened in San Francisco at station KQED back in the 60s. And so what happened was, even though a show like Meet the Press has been around longer, it never was a roundtable discussion. It was just, you know, some congressman or senator and with the host, and they would ask questions back and forth, and then they would have other news people ask the person back and forth. It was more like an interrogation than just a general discussion of what was going on.
Is that not what this was?
Well, what do you mean? You're saying I was interrogating?
You wanted to know what we were doing for Palindrome Day.
That was up for discussion, so we could discuss our plans for Palindrome. So what happened in the late 60s, there was a newspaper strike, and there's three major newspapers in San Francisco at the time, and it got to the point where it was in the, you know, 30th day of the strike, and so this anchor, Mel Wax, decided, hey, why don't we get some of these journalists who are sitting around doing nothing to talk about the news of the day so people locally could find out what's going on. So he started doing this roundtable discussion where he just had a bunch of journalists and they would talk about the news of the day. And they ended up winning Peabody Awards and some other awards. There were the Ford Foundation ended up financing the show because of its value in the community. And then it lasted about 9 more years before Ford Foundation found other things to donate its money for, I guess. And so it was the first show where that format was used. And then shows like Meet the Press and all the other political shows then followed suit afterwards. You know, shows like the McLaughlin Group or, you know, This Week in Washington, there's shows like that. So that's the history of doing these panel discussions. Hopefully we'll have a bigger panel next time we do it. Maybe we'll get Brandon back out of his CEO duties that he had to perform today. And, okay, so looking at the time, we're pretty much at the end of our time, although we don't have a show behind us today. So
you signal app.
What?
I said you signal app.
Oh, so final words. So Cody's final words are?
One of the other questions that we were discussing off air was name your top 5 apps, and I just said Signal. Signal messaging app. That's it. Number 1. Go use it if you don't use it already.
Okay.
For secure communications.
Okay. Is that just for
Android, iPhone, okay, on your desktop, all of them?
Okay. So this is for messaging or for?
For messaging. Secure end-to-end encrypted communications. So you can also send disappearing messages if you want as well.
Is it for like email and attachments and stuff like that or just?
Just text messaging mostly. It uses same thing like when you use an Apple phone and you see that little blue message. It's because it's being sent between Apple phones and it's stored on their servers. So signal communications are stored directly on whatever the other device is. So the server itself doesn't even know what it's actually sending.
Hmm. Yeah, I actually read it real quick. I remember the reason most business professionals still like Apple phones, because Android was trying to figure out why, you know, when a business person gets paid to use their phone, like a salesperson, why they always like the Apple phone is for that blue dot. Because they want to know that somebody's ready to type on the other end.
You actually get the same thing on, like if I have Signal and you have Signal,
right,
you can see not only like when you've actually read my messages, but you can also see if the other person is currently typing back, so you know whoever your business contact is actually seeing them or not.
Right, right. So what about yours? I guess your favorite app since we're talking about this.
I guess the app I probably use most often is Waze. for the GPS. Mm-hmm. It's free. It shows where all the traffic jams are, and it dynamically routes you based upon traffic conditions. I have a long commute, so it can save me probably 15 minutes a day sometimes. I really just kick myself every time I get stuck in traffic, and usually it's because I didn't have my Waze app open. So, little plug for Waze there, which is, I guess, now bought by Google.
It is Google's product. Now, they actually pull a lot of data from OpenStreetMaps as well, and I really wish OpenStreetMaps had better routing options, because I would definitely choose them over Waze. However, that's one of the very, very few things I will still occasionally use that's a pure Google product, solely because it's so good.
Yeah, it's actually part of Spotify, too. They use Waze.